some of my songs I have casually mentioned the fact that I like to drink beer. This little song is more to the point. Roll out the barrel and lend me your ears. I like beer. It makes me a jolly good fellow. I like beer. It helps me unwind, and sometimes it makes me feel mellow.
Makes him feel mellow.
Welcome to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. It's June 14th, 2011. It's the Good Beer Seal Awards show tonight. I'm Jimmy Carboni from Jimmy's Number 43. And my most special co-host, buddy of them all, Ray Dieter is here from DBA. How are you, Ray?
I'm well, Jimmy. I'm well. You know, I was getting panicky here. Everything was getting kind of weird. The lights are getting dimmer. I didn't have a beer sitting here at this chair, at this microphone. And one of our guests provided me with a beverage, and I'm so
thankful.
Well,
we're going to have a really cool show tonight, and I'm glad that we have these great guests. We got Julie Barnard, who is the ultimate beer fan. She's out there, I think this year she's going to be competing to hit all soon-to-be 34 Good Beer Seal bars this summer. Yeah, just talking to the microphone, Julie.
Sorry, Jimmy.
And Julie's a big fan of a lot of beers. And we got Juan Cruz, one of our regular guests and owner of Sunswick 3535 in Queens, another really great Good Beer Seal bar.
It was great to be back here, guys. I appreciate the invitation. I was here last year, and now it's like, it's awesome. It's awesome to be back. Thank you.
It's good to have you both on. Well, let's just give a shout-out first to our sponsor, greatbrewers.com. If you want to learn more about beer education, go to greatbrewers.com. Check out the Great Beer Test 20 and the Great Beer Test 100. Challenge your beer IQ on greatbrewers.com. It's all about the brewers. We're also supported by the people at the Good Beer Seal, an association of soon-to-be 34 New York City bars that serve, promote, and support good beer. Check us out at goodbeerseal.com. So there's kind of a theme tonight. It's about the Good Beer Seal bars. Tell you a little bit about that. Ray and I and a couple other guys, Gary Gillis from Standings and Burp Castle, Dave Broderick at Blind Tiger, Joe over at Spite and Dive, a few other guys, about 3 years ago, we got together and said we have to create something that's more beer bar centric. That's not just about beer industry or other larger factors. And we came up with this thing, the Good Beer Seal, and that's why today we have this radio show. We don't want to go into it too much, but tonight at Barcade, 7 o'clock, there's a great party. We'll be announcing the new Good Beer Seal bar members. There's a media committee. There's some really cool things that are going on.
Well, I think the interesting thing about it, Jimmy, is that normally when you go to a beer festival or a beer event, usually it's brewery driven. And what we decided to do, and I think we've done a good job of it, is made it a bit more bar centric, where the actual guys that are actually serving the beer to the people, not just making it, but actually serving it and presenting the beer, actually have a say in what the presentation is in these kind of festival kind of settings. And the Good Beer Seal, like, we got a bunch of guys that know their stuff, a bunch of bloggers and writers and beer people that we respect a lot, to choose new guys, new bars every year, and they join the group, the Good Beer Seal group. And tonight we're going to be honoring those guys.
There's some cool, Josh Bernstein, he writes for Imbibe magazine and a lot of other things, Time Out. He's going to be there tonight. He'll probably master ceremonies. Rachel Wharton, who's been on the show a few times, she's from Edible Brooklyn and Edible Manhattan, New York One. She's going to be there. Mary Izett from Ale Street News. So it's a good cross-section of local.
I heard
brewers.
That.
Sorry.
No, it's good.
Here we are. We talk about ourselves, but here's the other question. Before we get into anything too serious and anything.
Too serious?
The question for Ray is, Ray.
Yes.
Okay. An event's coming up next week in D.C. Savor in D.C. It was June 3rd to 4th. Whoa, who did my notes? Charlie Papazian is the man. He's going to be calling in next week. So if you're on the show next week, we'll be talking to Charlie Papazian. Ray, who is Charlie Papazian?
Wow, Charlie Papazian. He's early on in my before I got involved in the DBA beer business, bar business. I got a book. I was given a book, the Home Brewer's Guide, and Charlie Papazian is the kind of the godfather of home brewing, and his book was the guide on how to homebrew. And And, you know, one of the great things about this industry is that there's, like, when I first started getting involved with home brewing and then obviously into the beer bar business, the two guys that were, like, at the head of the business, one was Charlie Papazian and the other guy was Michael Jackson. And I got to meet both of those folks. And Charlie is a great guy. I'm thrilled that he's going to be coming. He's going to be calling in next week. I'm looking forward to talking to him. That's going to be great.
Yeah, no, the Brewers Association is getting more involved with our show, and you know, we'll look forward to talking to him next week. So our guest this week is part of the Good Beer Seal Awards theme. We got Juan Cruz, who Sunswick was made part of the Good Beer Seal last year. And we'll give you a clue as to who's going to be on tonight. Ben Wiley just walked in. Hey, Ben.
Hi, Jimmy.
He owns a Bar Great Harry, and last year they opened Mission Dolores. And Mission Dolores is one of the new Good Beer Seal bars.
Yes, so. We are. Thank you for letting us in.
Thanks for being you, man.
Wasn't up to us.
We would have let you in last year, but the writers' committee is really tough.
Yeah, no,
and they said you got to be open for 1 year before you get in.
Yeah, I'm still a little angry about that. Sorry, though.
Don't be bitter. Don't be bitter.
But now you're in. You're a pro.
Yeah, I'm excited.
So last time we had you on, we learned a lot about you. What I've learned from meeting guys like Ben Wiley at Mission Dolores and Sam Barbieri at Waterfront Ale House is just how many really cool guys own beer bars. Sam Barbieri went to the Culinary Institute of America. You know, he does barbecue on the side. And Ben, you started out as a pastry chef.
Yeah, that's right. I went to school over at Institute of Culinary Education, formerly Peter Kump, in the city for pastry stuff. So that was kind of my start in the
industry. Do you have pastries at the bar?
No, we don't. I kind of played with the idea in the beginning, but, well, it just, you know, beer and pastry doesn't.
Beer dumplings doesn't make any sense to you.
Beer dumplings. Kind of good.
What about pretzels? Like, yeah, Sigmund pretzels.
I know. Well, we sell pretzels now. I don't make them. Somebody else does. But, yeah, I wasn't able to make that happen. I did think about opening a cafe at one point. I mean, I still would at some point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, when we first met you, you had Bar Great Harry. You were just opening Mission Dolores.
That's right.
Tell us about that bar. It's an awesome bar. The style's great. The selection of beers is awesome.
Yeah, Mission Dolores is pretty cool.
Where's it located?
It's at 249 4th Ave. So that's the corner of 4th Avenue and Carroll Street.
In Brooklyn.
Which kind of, I guess, Park Slope or Gowanus, kind of depending on who you ask. It's kind of between them. But, yeah, we're happy with the way it came out. It used to be an auto repair shop, so it has it still has kind of, not really industrial, but kind of a worn-down, beaten-in, kind of comfortable, I think, homey, rustic kind of a look.
What train stop is it by?
It's near, oh, man, the R.
RB.
The RB.
The
RB says
the roast beef.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, it is. It's the R and the B, I guess, on Union, which are pretty convenient. Yeah, when we first saw the spot, you know, we actually just found it on Craigslist, and we went in and we looked at it.
Whoa! You found the location on Craigslist?
Yeah. We were just looking for you know, places friendly to retail.
Wow.
And you know, there was a couple picks, and as soon as we saw it, it was, you know, if you go, you'll see it's kind of it's a weird setup. There's an outdoor area kind of in between two indoor areas, a little bit like the place in the city. What is that? Voldenui?
Yeah, well, the Belgian bar.
Yeah.
The West Village, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just insofar as, you know, you go through a kind of tunnel, then it opens up, and then you go back inside. So anyway, we saw the picks, and we were like, oh, let's check it out. Went down, and
It's very European, actually.
Is
like
it?
An interior courtyard, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's like old Europe, you know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it's nice because the doors all fold back. So when you come in, you've got this almost like little entryway. It's a little dark, a little dreamy. Then you go into this bright courtyard. And with the summers open now, you know, the doors completely fold back. And then you have all the glass. So it's just like suddenly you're in the sun-filled, bright area. So it's a super treat, especially for, you know, a bar in the summer.
So how many beers have you got yet on draft?
So we have 20 beers on draft and in one cask.
Uh-huh.
And like we do at Bar Great Harry, we rotate everything as frequently as we can. We usually do maybe not keg by keg, but two or three kegs at a time. So if you go, you know, one day, and if you go Friday and come back Sunday, chances are there'll be maybe three, four, or five different beers up. So
right.
It's a heavily, heavily rotated line.
So before I came over, I was checking out your blog. So you don't really have websites, you just have a blog.
That's right. For both the bars, we keep it pretty scaled down. It's just pretty much a list. Actually, not even pretty much. It's exactly that. It's only a list of the beers that we have up the day of. We do our best to make it a day-to-day update. Sometimes we get a little behind. It is the beer scene, after all.
So do you guys post your beers on beermenus.com too?
We do. We try to update beer menus, but mostly it's just the blog. And, you know, I mean, we have a pretty good regular clientele at both bars, Mission Dolores and Bar Great Harry. So, you know, the people pretty much know when they come that there'll be new beers. So they just kind of...
So it's like a real bar. People actually go there. They hang out.
Exactly.
It is a real bar.
They don't have to spend their time online. They're actually going to...
Yeah, it's a real... People actually get to meet each other and touch each other and talk to each other.
Do you have live music, too?
Amazing. We have no live music. We have a number of iPods, and we have a pretty thorough jukebox.
How do you govern the live music?
We don't have live music. I'm sorry.
How do you govern the ambient music, the music that's being played?
Well, we spend a lot of time laying out the audio in there. We do all the audio ourselves. Mm-hmm. I'm stealing the credit. It's actually my partner and brother, Mike, does all the audio. But he spends a lot of time laying everything out. And, you know, for exactly those reasons, like when you go into a bar, right, the atmosphere is kind of the most important thing. I mean, we talk about beer, and obviously the beer, the cocktails are important, right, and whoever's there is important, and the lighting's important, but really kind of the overall atmosphere, in a large part due to the music, I think is kind of what draws.
It all plays a part. Well, yeah. I mean, lighting is super important.
Lighting and music, I think, are kind of as important as what's on cask, you know? So anyway.
And hot bartenders are pretty important,
and
too.
And attractive bartenders, exactly. I'm also very proud of our bartenders. I think we have definitely the friendliest bartenders around.
How friendly?
Very, very friendly.
Mm.
Come and you'll find out.
What train is that?
What train is
the
that?
B, the B and the what?
The L and the
You
L
know
L
what?
R?
I think we're going to hang out in Brooklyn tonight,
the
right?
The R. The
at B. 7 o'clock, we're going to bar. What's the scene like
I didn't know there was
on a Tuesday night at Mission Dolores around 10 o'clock?
A Tuesday night, packed to the gills.
Oh, yeah?
No. I don't know. Probably be comfortable. Mm-hmm. Comfortable tonight. Not too
Maybe
crowded.
We'll swing by there after we go to Barcade in Williamsburg. We'll go over to Mission Dolores.
Hey, Julie, what beer do you just pour for me?
I did.
Julie, talking to the microphone.
Oh, sorry. I keep on forgetting it's here.
We're on the radio.
It's a redemption. I can't actually read the label. It's kind of...
That's pretty... Actually, I'll step... That's the...
Can you tell me what this is?
The Didola.
Oh, they don't.
Be United.
It's been in an ice bucket, still so I apologize.
It's got like a sour. It's really good.
You know, Didol.
It's really nice,
Didol.
Isn't it?
That's Didol. Yeah, that's
Juan, you know the beer?
Didol. Yeah, that's Didol.
Juan likes this beer.
Tell us about the Didol, because this is an awesome beer.
Well, it is from Beer United. Mike has the opportunity to bring that beer over. Actually, I had that last week, and it's just phenomenal. I love that beer. I think which one is this? Is this on?
The Stillenock.
Oh, the Stillenock. Yeah.
This is the one that you saw me capping it. You're like, ooh.
Oh,
hey.
That's the one.
Yeah.
This is Stillenock.
Yes, Stillenock. Yep.
Oh, right. They're holiday beer.
The secret stash at Jimmy's number 43.
Wow. And you know, I actually met the guy that brews the beer. He is a lunatic. I met him in Antwerp, and he is a maniac. He was wearing this jacket with question marks all over it, like kind of like the Joker from Batman, and he makes amazing beer. I mean, the Didol stuff is amazing. It's been around for a while. Matthias brings it in from Be United, and it's great beer.
Awesome. Who's gonna get Ben a beer? Ben walked in. He came all the way from
Ben has Park a beer.
Slope. Ben, you have to drink.
Is that from
this?
Really?
Let's make a toast. We'll make a little toast tonight. You know, we just wrapped up the Montreal Mondial de la Beer. They wrapped up Savoir in DC. Well, guess what? Tonight we have our own beer fest. It's called the Good Beer Seal Awards. Toasting the guys, the small independent beer bar owners in New York City.
Awesome.
Who carry really great beer and care about it. And that's us. So cheers. We're going to take a short break. We'll be back talking more about Good Beer Seal and great beer bars.
Baby, baby, it looks like it's going to hail. Baby, baby, it looks like it's going to hail. You better come inside, let me teach you how to jive and wheel. Oh, you gotta jump and jive and bend your wheel. You gotta jump and jive and bend your wheel. You gotta jump and jive and bend your wheel. You gotta jump and jive and bend your wheel. You gotta jump and jive and bend your wheel. Looking for a can of ale. Papa's in the icebox looking for a can of ale. Mama's in the backyard learning how to jive and wheel. Oh, you gotta jump, jive and
then you really gotta jump and jive it. 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 Then you will.
Welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. Here we are with some great guys. It's Good Beer Seal Awards night tonight. We've got DBA, Jimmy's number 43, Bar Great Harry, Sunswick, and joining us, Mission Dolores. There's going to be 7 new Good Beer Seal bars tonight at Barcade. You can come and find out, or you have to check us out later on thegoodbeerseal.com, and you can see all the new Good Beer Seal Award winners. You know, this is a pretty wild year. This is the third year we've got the Good Beer Seal, second year of the radio show, Beer Sessions Radio. But third year of July Good Beer Month, something very low-key. It's not a beer week. It's not a craft beer week where it's all about partying. It's a simple, focused month, really focused about the small good beer bars and also local breweries.
It's about beer respect, Jimmy.
And what it is that it's awesome, is that Mayor Bloomberg every year gives us a proclamation, and now we've got guys like Steve Hindy from Brooklyn Brewery on board, and they're like, hey, you know, this is New York City. This is, you know, respect for small breweries and small beer bars. And I think that we're doing something. We're doing the right thing. And I like what you said before about how our perspective is a little different than most beer focused events and media and everything.
Well, I got to say, I just got back from Philly Beer Week. I was down there last week and spent a day or two down there, and it was absolutely amazing. Those guys, I mean, the entire town is completely geared up for Beer Week. Everybody, the mayor, the museums, every bar, every place. There's like beer royalty in town. Steve was down there. Steve Hindy was down there. Garrett Oliver was down there. Dan Shelton was down there from the Shelton Brothers and Porters. Even I was down there. And it was,
what was your favorite event?
Well,
because I saw you last. You were on the show last Tuesday, and you went down to Philly.
I went down to Philly on Wednesday night, and I went to the. I had it with Don Feinberg. He did a beer dinner at Monk's Cafe with Tom Peters and
Wendy and Don from Van Bergen.
Wendy wasn't there; it was just Don.
Oh yeah, just Don.
Just Don. He did a great job, and Tom's food was remarkable. The pairings were amazing. It was very, very DuPont heavy, which is one of my favorite beers in the world. You know that, the DuPont Saison, the Fauré, the Moynette, all that family of Saison style beers, just great. And Tom matched him up with some great food, and he brought down the chef from the Beer Cafe in Montreal. Came down and cooked some great stuff. It was just amazing. And everywhere you went, because Philly's kind of small, you know, and all the bars are kind of in the same area, so you can like just crawl around, and every bar you popped into, there was like a brewer, there was a beer luminary hanging out. Yeah.
No, it sounds like fun. Well, on a New York City note, with the good July Good Beer Month coming up, you know, we've been really lucky. We've got Six Point and Kelso, Brooklyn Brewery, a couple other locals. And something new that Julie brought in that I've never even heard of until tonight. Julie, what beer did you bring in for us?
So it's a brewery that's getting ready to launch called Single Cut Beersmith. It's Rich Buchetta. He used to brew at Greenpoint Beer Works. So he did stuff for like Six Point, Kelso, Heartland, Great South Bay. So he's pretty knowledgeable.
What's the brewery called again?
Single Cut Beersmiths.
Single Cut Beersmith.
Yeah.
Where does that name come from? Any
idea?
You
know, unfortunately, by the time he and I get to those discussions, it's always to the point where several beers have been imbibed. So, yeah.
Well, I'm pouring this one that says 6% Single Cut Beersmith's London IPA.
That's a tasty one. It's wow. Very, very tasty.
That sounds right up my alley, Jimmy.
I think I always go here. Pass this around. I think I always go for the English IPAs these days. Wow, this is awesome. So what does this guy do? Right now he's just making it and letting people sample, but is he actually going to have a small brewery?
He is. Actually, he's gearing up. He had meetings actually today with another set of investors, but he is...
Here in Brooklyn?
No, it's going to be upstate.
Upstate New York. Whereabouts?
Again, unfortunately,
you were too drunk to remember.
I'm sorry. You know, when you sit there and you
or you're sworn to secrecy.
No, not sworn to secrecy, but just it's not ready to go yet. But he's on his way, and he's doing it right. I mean, he really is going in smart and is putting together a setup that's going to be 100%. Yeah. All his stuff is great. What'd I bring in, like 9 bottles?
So Rich Buccetta.
Ooh,
and
it's good beer.
Yeah, it's Rich Buccetta.
Buccetta. Cool. And I know he's doing an event this week at Earl's
Sunday.
He's up, doing uptown. An event. There's a place called Earl's that he's doing something like that. Wow. All right. Ben, are there any other small new local breweries that you like that we haven't talked about? Because it's kind of the season for that.
I don't know if you guys mentioned it before I got here, but Barrier.
Barrier.
I've been really excited with all the stuff. I mean, I think we've had... So right now at both bars, Bar Grand Harry and Mission Dolores, we've pretty much had a Barrier lineup since they rolled their pickup truck in front of bars.
I know.
And rolled their kegs off by hand.
They're self-distributing, right? They're not.
Yeah, exactly.
They're not through any of the majors.
And I mean, it's very down home. It's as hands-on as you get.
And we've had a bunch of their casks over our place, but I'm looking forward. I had their Imperial Red Ale over at Jimmy's number 43.
The Bulkhead Red,
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
You know what's amazing about what they're doing is that the laws in New York State actually favor, I mean, on a very small production level, they favor the microbreweries. Any microbrewery, I think 5,000 barrels or less, can also self-distribute in New York State. Well, that means that you could start up, you know, a small microbrewery, distribute to bars and restaurants, and you can also now sell at farmers markets.
Oh, that's really cool.
You can sell growlers or bottles. You can't pour beer, but you can sell containers.
They're cool. I mean, you call up one day, and they drive out themselves from Long Island the next day and show up at the bar.
So Barrier's brewed at Long Island.
Yeah, as far as I know.
I mean, it's Oceanside.
As far as you know?
So
Oceanside.
Yes, man, it's brewed out in Long Island.
He hasn't been there.
I wasn't really sure.
In fact, none of us have been there because it's just the back of a little warehouse. But it's Oceanside, Long Island. It's just past Long Beach.
Well, everything I've had from their stuff has been amazing.
Reality, it's New York City. You know, geographically, it's
exactly
so.
That's what I meant to say.
Yeah,
it's not brewed like in a pirate ship or something.
Actually,
I'm right there with Ben because, like, with Bar Great Harry and Mission Dolores, Jimmy's number 43. We have usually two lines of Barrier on every week. Now.
Yeah, the stuff is good. And another little shout out for Barrier on Sunday. So not this coming Sunday, but the following, which I believe is the 26th. The annual Smith Street Sunday Fun Day Fair is on, and Bar Grand Harry will be pouring 4 beers out on the street, and 2 of them will be Barrier beers.
Oh, right. Whoa. I thought that Rudolph Giuliani outlawed pouring beer in the street. Is this a new change to the law?
Well, I don't know how far we should go into detail since we're on the radio.
That's okay. Now, Juan,
are you a lawyer?
No. Juan, have you had any Barrier beers at Sunswick in Queens?
Well, no. That actually is one of the things that I intend to bring in at some point. Right now, I've been working on my Belgian Fest. My Belgian Fest has been going for 2 weeks. I'm down to the first one. I got 1 week left, and it's actually doing pretty well. Pretty well.
So what beers are you featuring?
All Belgian beers, not Belgium styles.
So for example, what beers do you have on draft?
Oh, gosh. You know, I have, it's hard to say. All the Schuf's, basically. That's one of them. I like the one that I had yesterday. It was done by
Rodenbach.
Well, Rodenbach is one of the, it's always there. You know, it's so you know, you expect to see those sort of beers.
So
Rodenbach is like
no, I'm joking.
so you got some weird beers. You got some weird Belgian beers.
Yes, you know it's not actually weird.
Did you actually go to Belgium and like have a private plane and pick up special barrels of Belgian beer and bring it back for your festival?
No, actually, it's some of the things I've been working on for a couple of months from all the guys, all the distributors,
sure,
and try to get some of those beers. Mostly,
so you've been stockpiling some Belgian beers,
and try hold on to them from the year before.
I think that's great. Beers, in Queens, there's like this bastion of great beer in Queens. Like we were talking about this before we started the show about. I always think of Queens as kind of like Irish beer and Indian food. That's I'm not a smart guy and I'm not very well traveled.
It's 2011, Ray. So there's a lot of good places in Queens.
You need to come to Sunswick.
Yeah.
You need to
exactly. I'm admitting my ignorance.
But I kind of agree. I think of Queens like New Jersey.
You might, but you know what? A lot of people live there and there's a lot of good stuff. Let's move on. Guys, slow down. All right, let's talk about beer.
That's horrible.
Okay, one thing I was going to say is it's really interesting that you've spent all this time building up your Belgian beer fest.
Right.
Ben, have you ever done the same? Have you ever stockpiled beers in anticipation of doing a special event?
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, it's one of the things we really like to do at both bars. Especially over at Bar Great Harry, we have a whole cellar that's stacked with Sixtels, some half barrels too. Yeah, no, we keep on to beer. We hang on to beer for a long time, especially some of like those real big, heavy ABVs out of like Avery and stuff, you know, and once in a while you'll get a sixth of Mephistopheles or some crazy thing like that. Yeah, we hang on to all that stuff.
And like, would you hang on to it for more than 1 year?
We have, yeah, we, I don't know. So Barger and Harry's almost 4 years old, and I think we did, we had one for 2 years that we put up at one point. But again, it was a really high ABV, right? It was like a 13, 14, 15% or maybe even higher. Some of those big dogfish or something like that. And in fact, we've done a couple different vintages at the same time, you know, done like an 07, an 08, an 09 at once, so you can kind of do a little flight, do a little taste comparison.
Ray, have you done anything like that?
Oh, God, yeah.
Oh, you have? Like, which beers have you held back?
We've held back a lot of black chocolate stout. We used to sit on those barrels for years, and we used to do a Christmas in July event with aged black chocolate stout from Brooklyn Brewery, and my God, that stuff ages quite well.
Like, how many years did you keep? You had a keg or bottles?
Kegs. No, we kept kegs.
How many years did you keep kegs?
The
black chocolate stout from Brooklyn.
Oh, now you got me.
More than 1 year? 2 years?
Oh, God, yeah. Years and years and years and years. I actually have a cellar full of, like, you know what? I have a bunch of Samuel Adams Triple Bock. You remember that stuff in the blue bottles? I got those.
Yeah, I didn't really. I never really got into Sam Adams, but
I've got a cache from 1994, the first year we opened up. And I'm going to check that stuff out. I don't know.
Those are kegs? I'm sorry.
No,
bottles.
I never kegged that.
Okay.
It's all bottles. They're these like cobalt blue bottles, really pretty bottles. And the beer, I think it was 16% alcohol by volume. And we did a thing for the Ale Street News about 2 months ago with Tony Forder and those guys. And I brought a few bottles, and they were awful. They were awful. But I've got a bunch more, and I'm looking forward to trying those down the road. It's really strong. But, you know, the more alcohol in a beer, the longer it's going to last, in theory.
Speaking of Sam Adams, have either of you guys tried the Utopias?
I have not.
Yeah, we just we had three bottles of it. Well, we have one bottle. We had three over at Barger & Harry. And, man, we sold through them, like, no problem. People love that stuff.
How'd it taste? Wow. Was it good?
It's good, yeah. It's not. I thought I would hate it. I got to be honest, because I thought it was going to be just super aggressive and I don't know, dark fruity kind of.
How strong is that stuff?
It's I want to say
like 20%.
Yeah, it's about 20. It's not like it's not. Yeah, it's about 20. But it you know, it's very flat. It's like almost
it's
no
about
carbonation.
As strong as beer can get.
Yeah, and you know, it tasted a little bit rummy, a little bit dark fruity.
Right.
But it wasn't too crazy. It really wasn't too crazy.
But the vessels, I mean, they really went all out when they put this beer together. The vessels that they come in are stunning.
Mm.
Like, absolutely. People seriously are eBaying the bottles when they're done, and people buy them for $200. And that's what how much
for
the
a bottle
beer
for one bottle.
What did you sell them for, or what you have sold them for at your place?
Well, so we did an ounce and a quarter serving, so it's like a shot glass, but it was measured. We measured everything, ounce and a quarter, and we sold them for $15 a shot. Which at the time, and that's very, I mean, that's up until 2 weeks ago, we were the cheapest in all five boroughs. There was one other place that was selling at $15 a shot, but it was for only an ounce, and it was up in New York somewhere. So, but we're all out of it at the moment.
That's too bad.
Well,
super strong beer,
and
next time you're on the show, maybe you could bring a bottle with you.
Yeah.
Well, let's go back.
I'll take up a collection right now.
Bottle, actually. Yeah. I was
because this
thinking.
Is only the second time they've done the Utopia. This is actually their second round.
That's
so
right,
yeah.
See, Jimmy, if you had known, I would have brought that bottle. I have one bottle that I've been saving. Next time I see you.
I wanted to give you a little break.
Oh, you're one of those guys.
Yes. I'm one of those.
I was trying to give Juan a break because I want Juan to tell us about a couple of the other favorite Belgian beers he's got on right now.
I also think Juan just volunteered to bring the Utopia for the next show.
I think he's on next week.
I need to sign up now.
Or I think we have to go to Sunswick in Queens. Break our Queens phobias and get our butts over there and try the last bottle of Utopia.
You really need to make a trip. It's actually pretty good. You know, I love Astoria. It's an up and coming kind of a town, and it's doing quite well. You know, I decided to open up a place.
Yeah, Astoria is one subway stop from Midtown. So
yeah, absolutely. It's like right over 59 Bridge. Is that far?
Yeah, but okay, we gave you a break. You know, I got to tell us three more beers. Belgian beers that you have on draft right now for your Belgian beer fest.
Rather quickly, you know, you'd be surprised how quick I have one of the beers that is just like it just sold tremendously well, and I put two kegs in like 3 days, and one of them is the Quack.
Oh, Quack, yeah.
Quack.
It's surprisingly how easy drink it was for people to just like, you know, that was one of the beers that was just like selling so quickly.
Are you using the glassware, the proper glassware?
Oh, yes, yes. Yeah,
and do you take people's shoes and put them in a bird cage over the bar?
Yes, that's exactly what we do. And every beer that we have up there, he's got his proper glass. And you know, I know the beer that I really like. Actually, like, I like three different beers from Saison. Saison the Pond is always
excellent
beer. A big seller. It's so tasty, so good.
You know, they have a really great beer out now. It's called the Brasserie du Pont's Radar Pils.
I have not had
Radar Pils.
It's great. It's subtle. Awesome. It's kind of like almost wild yeasty, almost sour on the finish. A really great refreshing pils.
That's the one that I have.
It's one of Don Feinberg's new finds. He was really proud of.
I love this how beer. There's I don't know if it's a full resurgence, but everywhere I look now, there seems to be more and more like artisanal pilsner. I mean, just it seems like there's
about
slight,
time,
right? Yeah, exactly. I mean, a lot, especially kind of if you talk to bar owners or just beer geeks in general, right? After the first couple of years, you know, or first 10 years or so, then you start getting into the lower ABV stuff, right? The cool mild IPAs, the cool pilsners, mm-hmm. the nuance, you know.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it's really cool to see, even on a mass market kind of, not mass market, but on a still within the small beer scene, but on a greater scale, you're seeing, I think, a general appreciation of pilsners coming out, like Dogfish and My Antonia. A Dogfish in that Italian brewery did the My Antonia Pilsner, and just Imperial Pilsners across the board and stuff. It's pretty cool. I'm happy
but
to see
But, you know, I got to say, as a bar owner, though, it's so hard to get your customers to actually get their heads around paying a lot of money for a Pilsner.
I mean, absolutely.
There's a bunch of good Pilsners at, like, normal beer prices. Now to get the DuPont Pilsner, which is amazing, but it's like, but it's in the Pilsner family, and it's like, okay, so you're going to pay, you know, $4 or $5 for that bottle of Pilsner, but now we got this really good pilsner that's going to cost $8 a bottle.
Yeah.
It's a huge leap.
Guess what? You can do what I did.
What do you do, Jimmy?
Put on a session ale or something else and then put on a fancy pilsner. Why not?
Yeah. And well, hey, yeah.
I'm going to give a shout out to this beer because it's in Juan's.
What are we
Sanswick
drinking?
Has it's inspired me here. I brought in a real fancy Belgian beer.
Ooh, a goose.
The Brouwerij Fonteinen. Is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah, yeah. Oh,
while you guys are drinking warm. Not quite ready for
that's
for
three fountains.
The
that's
public beer. I'm drinking
that's Armand's beer.
Fortainen, the Oud
Goose,
Blendic Lambic beer, aged in oak. That's what I've been drinking.
I've been in that beer.
I'm like Richard Nixon. In the old days, Richard Nixon would be on his yacht. He'd serve his friends like crappy red wine. He would have first growth Bordeaux. I'm sorry, guys. That's what I'm doing to you tonight, okay?
You look like Nixon.
We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we'll talk more with our guests about good beer.
Excellent.
On Beer Sessions Radio. Jack Wilson said, it was written to you. Kind of love you got, knock me off my feet. Let it all
service announcement from Heritage Radio Network. Every Tuesday at noon, Dave Arnold, the author of CookingIssues.com, will discuss new and innovative techniques, equipment, and ingredients. Call in with your own questions to see if Dave and the crew can solve your cooking issues. Again, that's Tuesdays at noon on the Heritage Radio Network.
Welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. I'll give a shout out to Dave Arnold, Cooking Issues. Dave Arnold's a really cool guy. He's a teacher at what was once called French Culinary Institute. I don't know what it's called anymore. It's like International Culinary Center or something, downtown Manhattan. But that guy has a vision and a dream
I think it's called the Freedom Culinary Institute.
Well, let me give him a shit. He's a Heritage Radio Network host. I have to give him some play. But, you know, he's got this vision of the Museum of Food and Drink. And a couple months ago, I had a really awesome dinner at Del Posto. I went there, and you'll hear more about Dave Arnold, Cooking Issues, Heritage Radio Network. So we're back with our in-studio guests, Ray Dieter, DBA, Ben Wiley, Mission Dolores, and Bargrate Harry, Julia Barnard, who's going to conquer the Good Beer Seal bars this summer, and Juan Cruz from Sunswick in Queens. Well, we've got a question from one of our interested listeners out there. We got some cool people that listen to the show from Michigan to Florida and in between. You can call in anytime live at Heritage Radio Network. Or you can just email us at beersessions@gmail.com. But, all right, I'm finding my notes. Okay, this is from Phil Hopfman in Syosset, New York. Syosset, New York is on Long Island, and it's Phil Hopfman. Great question here. We're going to go around the room and answer this one. What makes a great bartender? Ray Dieter, many years of experience. What makes a great bartender?
You know, a bartender that shows up on time is really important and stays the whole shift all the way through and is really pleasant to the customers. I mean, that's what I want. Punctuality, and I want, you know, an attractive person, male or female. Personally, female, but, you know, all around the block, it's got to be an attractive person. Good hygiene, and somebody that, and not necessarily a beer expert, somebody that's open for suggestions. And this is one of the things my business partner Dennis and I discussed this. It's like we can hire a beer expert to be a bartender. You can't. It's easier to train a good bartender to be a beer expert than it is to train a beer expert to be a good bartender, because it's not just about beer sometimes behind the bar, especially when you have liquors and so forth. It's a big question. It's like, what's a good bartender? It's somebody that you like to hang out with.
That's a really good point. I'm going to give that to Juan, because I know Juan's a real long-time industry professional. Which is true.
I was expecting this. No, absolutely. I kind of like, you know, one of the things is I always expect my bartenders to actually be fully prepared, be there on time, as Ray mentioned it. But it's just being prepared and have a great personality. I always follow a person who has a good personality, not necessarily much of experience. I do tend to train people on my place and be knowledgeable about what they know, what they're selling, and have a be friendly. You know, have a really good personality. It's always mm-hmm. to be attentive.
Yeah,
you know, it's one of those things that you always, when you walk into a place, it's always the first person you see is the bartender, you know, and you expect to be treated as, hey, you know, you walk in and you see someone who's smiling at you, who's being friendly, you know, so it makes you feel comfortable.
I love walking.
You know the way, I'm going to interrupt because this is bringing us to the next point. So, you know, you get your bartenders and you've been in business a while. Then when you open a new bar, like Ben did with Mission Dolores, how do you find it when you're opening a new bar and you don't even really know what you're doing? How do you get a bartender? That's the hardest, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, what we were able to do, and I'm sure most bar owners with multiple bars probably do the same, is you kind of, as you go, you use the kind of prior bar, maybe tap on those bartenders for friends or acquaintances that have. This is what we did anyway. Well, actually, I don't know what other people do, but so we kind of looked at our Bargrate Harry employees. We were very happy with all of them. I mean, we hadn't changed an employee in over a year at that point, which is pretty rare in the bar scene. You know, they tend to come and go. So we were very happy. I mean, it really is familiar over there. So we asked those people, you know, do you know exactly what we want, what we expect from you? Do you have connections that you think would work for us? And that has worked across the board for Mission Dolores. But just going back to the very first question, I would pretty much agree with you guys. I very much value personality, attentiveness, and just kind of general cheeriness way more than any knowledge about cocktails, beer, wine, anything bar related at all. In fact, at Bargrate Harry, I think we have maybe 7 people now, and 5 of them, or 4 of them, had no bar experience beforehand. 2 of them were like baristas in a cafe, and I trained them. Every single thing they do in the bar, I trained them from scratch in a couple of days. And it was all based only upon their, just like I said, their
attitude. Let's bring this to Julie, because we're going to go to the next step. Julie, how rude can a bartender be and still be a good bartender? You know, you hear about this, you go into bars, like, oh, the bartender's rude, or I don't get service. but then there's something about them that I like, or vice versa.
So there's actually one bar that I actually do not frequent anymore due to all their bartenders. And it's unfortunate because they have some nice beers, they have a backyard, they have things that are appealing to me. But if I'm the only person waiting for a beer and it takes me 15 minutes, I kind of get a little irritated.
So that's
and that's
rude.
Not a lot of fun. So friendliness is definitely a key personality aspect that is needed, I think, as a bartender. But I actually do have a favorite bartender. Ben wins on this. He has several that I like, Crimson and Mo and Jill.
At which bar?
At Bar Great Harry and Mission Dolores. They do split up shifts, but in particular, because I am from the West Coast, there's a very specific pour that I like on my beers. And Ben knows this because it's a huge complaint of mine, is that East Coast pours, you get an inch of head. I don't want an inch ahead. I want to take a little slurp off the top of my beer and then carry it to my table. And Mo knows how to pour the absolute perfect beer for me. And she also remembers all the whiskeys that I like, all the rye. She remembers absolutely everything. So when I come in, she literally knows, no matter what, you know, what to pour for me. If I ask for a beer, she knows the beers I like. Whiskey, she knows how to pour it. So, you know, it's really, it's knowledge, it's smart. It's, I think, really giving a good pour if you remember a client who does tip well. I mean, because I'll triple tip her. Double tip her, because it's like, thank you for remembering me, so here you go. And that, you know, it kind of builds a relationship, so it's
There's
good.
An old story I read about. There was a guy who went to a bar or a restaurant, and he got really bad service, and then he tipped hugely. And the next time he went back, he got great service, and he tipped really badly. And the waitress said, "What happened? Last time you gave me such a great tip." And he said, "Well, this time I tip you for you know, what should have been the last, or whatever, I don't know. I tip you for last time, and last time I tip you for this time."
That would have been a really great joke if you got it right.
Yeah. I'm not gonna... Well, you take over, Ray. Come on. That's tell okay. me something funny. I'll do it again.
Right. No, I you know, it's crazy. I mean, one of the, you know, it's, we talk about service and DBA and First Avenue in Manhattan. I mean, we get really busy on the weekends, and I you know, I've seen the blogs, and there's complaints about a lot of our it's like people want a beer seminar on a Saturday night when it's 3 or 4 or 5 deep at the bar. It's difficult. It's like, you know, it's, we want to be polite and we want to be helpful and but it's like, it's really, really busy, and yeah. it's a conundrum. It really is a conundrum.
That's I know just what you mean.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes, you know, well, one of the things that we works out well for us is we open early. Like at both bars, we open at 2 p.m. And we've done that since day one. And it tends to get a lot of the beery people, the people mm-hmm. that want a seminar, which is cool. I mean, God bless them.
Oh, yeah, awesome, yeah.
Because that's a core clientele. But I think over time, they've learned that, oh, maybe if you roll in between like 2 and 7 or 2 and 5, you know, you can chat to the bartender about the beer and you can get all geeked out. But yeah, like you said, you know, if you come between, you know, 8 and 2 a.m. on a Friday night and ask for like a flight and special glassware and get, you know, angry about the head, it's going to be weird.
Right.
It's
weird.
Like, that's not very cool.
Yeah, we open at 1 o'clock also. And, you know, and okay, during the day, yeah, it's yeah. like it's a real, you know, it's like it's a great experience. We got yeah. great people, and we have obviously good beer. But it's such a fine line that you walk. It's like to make sure that people are being you know, being taken care of and getting their good beers, and also having a staff that's taking care of it. But then, yeah. but the staff, they're only human, you know. And when Absolutely. It's really busy, and people get very demanding, especially in the good beer and good whiskey kind of element. It's like they expect the staff to know a lot, and
yeah.
our staff does know a lot. But it's like, but when, once again, Friday night, 8 o'clock after work, it's like, you know, we're not going to have a flight of whiskeys for you. It's like, yeah. you know, let me know what you want. We'll give it for you, give it to you. And then we're going to yeah. go give somebody else something else.
But I mean, I kind of think that some bartenders could also say, when they're busy, just say, "Hey, I really appreciate you asking these questions. As you can see, I'm the only bartender right now. Let me mm-hmm. serve you.
Right,
we'll
right.
talk about this later," instead of just being like, "No, forget it. Here's your, you know," just almost getting a little bit nasty about the service. Like, I understand that you're busy, but mm-hmm. it's okay to say, "Hey."
Do you guys spend any time training your bartenders just on the beers? Like, Juan, you have the Belgian
yes,
Fest right now.
I do.
How do you do that?
I actually have my meetings. This, you know, the Belgian Fest is one of the things that I started doing. It was an experience. My first event was like 4 years ago. And you know, I did it for like first for 2 days, and then it was something that people were. I got, you know, it's like a neighborhood bar. It's what I have, and people were like, "Hey, what happened to the bail jumps?" And I'm saying, "Well, you know, I had, you know, if I had known." So, and I realized that on the first 2 days, he was like extremely busy. He was like, people were just coming to those particular 2 days, and we were just mobbed, and it wasn't really an experience that I wanted to transpire and make people feel comfortable with what we were doing. But then, you know, it went on for like from 2 days to 1 week, and now we're doing it for 2 weeks. So we just like sort of spread out. So it's a lot easier for us to just you know, take care of our.
We came up with this process that we've been doing it for a few years. What we do is when we have a new hired person come in, a new bartender, what we do is we rent a hotel room. We lock them up.
What? No. We do the same thing, dude. That's
crazy. I could do that.
And we lock them up in the room, and we kind of like just like make them drink every beer available in the market, and they have to memorize the labels, and we just kind of keep them there. It's like there's kind of it's kind of a sensory deprivation kind of experience.
Ray, you have an awesome place. I'm going to TVA.
No, it is the thing that that's one of the things that I do with my staff, that they need to know exactly what they're selling. You know, they need to taste just about every
and the best way to get them to know that is to beat that into
them. They need to know it. And when people come to the bar and I have 25 beers on tap, and they want to know. Some people that are like not really familiar with some of the beers, they have no idea what they're drinking, and just order something that is like random or very usual in all the bars. I wish I could say, you know, someone who names all those beers, but, you know, it's really not necessary.
It's not your job, man.
You know what this brings us back to? It's one thing our good friend Sam Merritt, the Civilization of Beer. You know, at some point you do need to know more about your product. You should know a little bit about, you know, wine, beer, spirits, whatever you're serving, kind of as a base. And we have a lot more to learn about it, all of us, because it's kind of new. I mean, you know, beer is only a new thing. Before that, there weren't that many choices. And beer sommelier, Cicerone training, there's a lot of things we talk about. Wow. Serious stuff, guys. That's going too deep. I'd rather talk about the rude bartenders. Cause
or the rude customers.
Well, no, the customers can be rude, but...
The customer is never rude.
I'll give you a good story. Here's a good story.
No, they're rude, but they're never wrong.
Oh,
never.
Oh, my bad.
Well, we'll give one more shout-out. Let's just celebrate. This is the Good Beer Seal is gearing up for July Good Beer Month, a month-long celebration of good beer bars in New York City, with big events like Cookout NYC on Governor's Island on July 10th and Good Beer at BAM on July 26th, plus all the bar events and media events we've got planned. New York beer lovers will have plenty to keep them busy in July. Check out our calendar on goodbeerseal.com. New events are being added every week. Start the countdown tonight at the Good Beer Seal Awards party at Barcade at 7 o'clock, and we'll announce the new inductees into the Good Beer Seal, including Mission Dolores. And there's a couple others I'll sneak one out. Browery Lane, they made it. Oh, Waterfront Ale House in Manhattan, that's three. Three of the seven, that's all I can tell you.
Jimmy.
What are you doing, man? I'm giving you some leads. But in closing, I'd like to thank our sponsors at greatbrewers.com, who have helped to bring this podcast to you tonight. Beer Sessions Radio is supported by the Good Beer Seal. You can also find Beer Sessions Radio on Facebook. Thanks to Ray, Juan, Ben, and Julie for joining me here on the Heritage Radio Network. I'm Jimmy Carboni. Thanks to our producers, Jack Inslee, Brie O'Connor. We'll see you next time on Beer Sessions Radio.
That I like to drink beer.
All right, guys.
This little song is more to the point. Roll out the barrel and lend me your ears. I like beer.
Thanks for listening to this program on the Heritage Radio Network. You can find all of our archived programs on heritageradionetwork.com, as well as a schedule of upcoming live shows. You can also podcast all of our programs on iTunes by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store. You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter for up-to-date news and information. Thanks for listening.
This is Behind the Scenes Food News with Katie Kiefer. A beef cut has been designed for a beer pairing. I know you're all going to be really happy to hear that. The Samuel Adams Boston Lager Cut will be available nationwide through an online retailer. This was actually designed by Jake Dixon of New York City's Dixon's Farm Stand Meats, located in the Chelsea Market, and it's cut from the cap
to the top sirloin at a 45 degree angle. It's a nice looking little steak. It's an 8-ounce steak that is designed to complement Sam Adams Boston Lager. But I bet you could find other beers that it would pair well with as well. So look out for it. Let's see what it's like. This has been Behind the Scenes Food News with Katie Kiefer.
There's no problem that Dave Arnold can't solve on his show, Cooking Issues. Take a little listen.
So Naveen writes in and says, "Hi Dave, I'm fascinated by chocolate, especially the transformation from the bitter seeds of the cacao tree to a tasty chocolate bar. That is a very interesting transformation. Are there any other foods that undergo a similar set of steps, fermentation, roasting, grinding? Also, do you know of any other tropical fruit seeds that could become delicious through such a process? Thanks, Naveen." That's an interesting question. I mean, obviously coffee, right? Coffee goes through a similar set of procedures, quite literally fermentation, drying, roasting, grinding, brewing. Vanilla goes through picking, fermentation, right? It's dipped in, usually in boiling water, and then wilted and then fermented. So it's similar. And then I guess it can be ground to form a paste. But vanilla doesn't taste like vanilla until it goes through its paces to be fermented. In fact, the vanilla that's uncured is called red vanilla. You can get it. It's interesting.
If you like what you hear, you can hear a new show every Tuesday at noon on the Heritage Radio Network, or subscribe to the podcast, or check out the archives on our website.